We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're answering listener questions and talking some stealing signal stats on Roto-Viz Radio. Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Caban alongside Curtis Patrick. We are two of the owners here at Roto-Viz, wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving. And with Thanksgiving in mind, I will mention that Curtis and I are not recording this episode live. We had two listener questions we wanted to get to. Curtis has given us some responses for those questions. I'm going to talk quickly about some interesting stats that I found while poking around the Stealing Signals tool this week. But without further ado, let's get into the week's first question. So this comes in from a gentleman named Blake. I wanted to get some feedback on two trades I just made in Dynasty Superflex tight end premium leagues. In one league where I'm not going to make the playoffs, I traded away Kamara, Patterson, and Beasley and received Chase and Gallup. In another league that I'm going to make the playoffs in, I traded away Antonio Gibson, Chase Claypool, Irv Smith, and a second round draft pick for Darren Waller and Chris Godwin. Higby was my only viable tight end before this. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, Blake. All right. Listen to what Curtis had to say, and then I will weigh in.
Blake, thanks so much for the questions, man. Two different situations here. Let's start with the squad where you're not going to make the playoffs. That this deal, you're trading away Alvin Kamara. I'm assuming this is Cordero Patterson and Cole Beasley receiving Jamar Chase and Michael Gallup. I think it's great, man. I think this is a great deal, probably really for both owners. You know, Kamara, and assuming that Patterson comes back and maintains the same type of role he's had year to date, the receiving manager is in a really good spot, you know, at RB1 and at flex or RB2 there, presumably needs depth there and is strong elsewhere if he's willing to trade, he or she's willing to trade away Jamar Chase and Michael Gallup. But this sets you up, you know, getting Gallup toward the end of his first contract. He looked very strong in his first glimpse of action returning to the Cowboys lineup after the extended absence of the season. And, you know, Chase, I think most of our team, you know, has him at Dynasty wide receiver one. And really, he's in the picture, if not the consensus, non-QB position player one in Dynasty at this point. So you've repositioned yourself very well. We know that we can find running back production late in rookie drafts on the waiver wire even. Clearly, you picked up Patterson and are turning him into something. So I think that's, you know, another feel-good piece of this deal. Really excited to see where the squad ends up next year after you add some rookie picks to this. So I'm going to give that trade really, that's a grade A trade, actually, for both managers. So good on both of you working together to better each other's teams for your goals this season. The second deal, trading away Antonio Gibson, Chase Claypool, Irv Smith, and a second for Darren Waller and Chris Godwin. This is a playoff contending team. I got to say, I like it again. There's a small chance that you lose this trade big. If Antonio Gibson and Chase Claypool both hit their optimals, and I guess, you know, with a super flex tight end premium format, the second round draft pick, not knowing where that's going to fall. I'm assuming it's your own second since you didn't give us that information. And if you're a playoff squad, I guess this is a back half, but I don't know that for sure. So if there's a chance that this isn't your own second, wide range of outcomes for that pick, we know that these types of drafts in these formats are very deep. But a late second, I'll assume, I like this deal. Antonio Gibson has been very, very up and down. He has not run away with a bell cow role, even when healthy, and he's rarely been fully healthy. Chase Claypool looks like a wide range of outcomes player as well. Has really popped. He's really popped athletically, but you know, he has not become a target hog. Even with Juju out for the year, you would have thought that things would have really lined up for him. And Roethlisberger looks a little bit healthier and is starting to heat up. So maybe he can gain some, maybe Claypool, that is, can gain some steam toward the end of this season. But getting Darren Waller, getting Chris Godwin, you know, I think you've upgraded at two starting positions and you're already in playoff position. We play to win titles, man. We play to win titles. And I want nothing. I want nothing more than for you to be hoisting a trophy and grabbing the purse from this dynasty league. And you've definitely made a great deal here. Darren Waller, tight end three on the season, has missed some games. He's actually, 11 100ths of a point per game above Robert Gronkowski, trailing only Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce at 16.61 points per game. And Dave and I have talked a couple times about the Raiders' schedule rest of season. The passing offense really has probably the easiest path the rest of the way. And Waller has the third best tight end schedule rest of way. So really like the deal. Well done in two very different situations. And that's why it's fun to play Dynasty as a portfolio game, man. You're handling two different situations with two different types of trades. So good job, Blake. Thanks again for the questions.
So unsurprisingly, I am in lockstep with everything that Curtis said there. And I think that's really just a testament to how good those trades are for both teams. Specifically in that first one, felt very nice and balanced, positioning both teams well for their goals in making that trade. So great stuff there, Blake. Glad that you sent in those questions. And I think that it serves, particularly again, that first one serves as a good example for people that are thinking about how they can frame these deals, different configurations that might work. And for your teams in specific, I really like the way that you repositioned yourself towards your goals. So awesome stuff. Our second question comes in again from Android, who we've talked with before this season. Let me pull up the question here. I will read it, then we'll get some thoughts from Curtis. So Android said, "Well, guys, pulled off the W and one of the teams ahead of me dropped a slot in the standings, putting me within one game of the sixth seed. Last time he wrote in, he was questioning if this is a team you should give up on. He did lose Aaron Jones, sent us his full roster, wants us to see if there's any advice on if this is still a team that should be competing." So as a reminder, he's within one game of the sixth seed. At quarterback right now, he has Jimmy Garoppolo, Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. Running backs, Edmonds, Kylan Hill, Hubbard, Aaron Jones, McCaffrey, Sermon, Javonte Williams. Wide receiver, Davante Adams, Nelson Aguilar, Robbie Anderson, Paris Campbell, Chase Claypool, Jamison Crowder, T.Y. Hilton, Calvin Ridley. Tight ends, Dan Arnold, Noah Gray, Chris Herndon, Tyler Kroft, David Njoku, Ricky Seals-Jones. This feels like a team to me that you will see a fair amount. There's generally a lot of teams kind of configured like this in most dynasty leagues. So there's probably a lot of you out there in a similar situation. Let's see what Curtis makes of it.
Oh man, we talked about Android 70s squad a couple of weeks ago, Dave. Great to see that he's winning. It makes this situation pretty tough though. because he's within one game of the sixth seed, but now loses Aaron Jones, does not have AJ Dillon. So you basically got CMC back at the expense of Jones. So the team's not really in any better shape than it was last time we checked in with Android. This is a situation where if everything goes right, I still do think in the format he's playing, there's an outside shot for him to bring a title home. He would really need Calvin Ridley to actually return to football this year. If that happens, there's still a shot here. If Calvin Ridley comes back and Aaron Jones comes back, there's a shot. So I think what we do is we trade some of the pieces that have fleeting value to try to get some extra rookie draft capital for next season, or just to get just to get extra depth at running back or wide receiver, young depth, maybe that hasn't broken out yet. This is a super flex squad. You know, we've got a lot of kind of middling to lower end QBs and a couple in particular that won't have much value next year, I don't think. And Jimmy Garoppolo and Taylor Heineke, they're certainly not going to gain any more value than they have today. Would really like to shop both of those QBs to teams that are in the playoff hunt, but either still need to cover a bye. So you can target like the Jalen Hurts owner. They're going to have a week 14 bye, for example. That's the type of thing you need to be looking at here. Or somebody who's, you know, maybe hanging on, but only has one quarterback right now. So I'd really like to move those two pieces and keep going. That'll leave you with Wentz and Mayfield and one of those two quarterbacks, assuming that you can't trade both of them. And then if I look at your running backs, you're getting Javonte Williams back after the bye now this week, which is great. So I don't really think you can afford to trade CMC or Aaron Jones off if you're still going to see what fate does with this team. So you're going to stick at running back, see how that plays out. At wide receiver, I don't mind moving Jamison Crowder or T.Y. Hilton and then starting Aguilar and Claypool. Hilton and Crowder are not going to accrue any more dynasty value. And if you can move either one for like a third or package one with a third, and see if you can get a second. In particular, Crowder has been a little hotter, so I think that's more realistic. So let's try Crowder in a third for an opponent's second. Maybe try to move T.Y. Hilton for a third on his own. And you have a little, I mean, I guess you have a little bit of depth at tight end. David Njoku might have a little bit of value as a third or fourth to a squad that needs some depth there, but that's probably not material. So I think your trades here to continue to be able to compete and also convert assets into something that can accrue value next year. Let's try to move Garoppolo or Heineke, and let's try to move Crowder or Hilton. And that's got my blessing. Best of luck to you, Android. Hopefully we'll be continuing to talk about how to keep this team in playoff position over the next couple of weeks.
So this shouldn't come as a surprise. Curtis, generally the more optimistic out of the two of us. I had originally said on this team that I thought it would be in its best interest to throw in the towel on this season, start building for next year and the future. I don't disagree with Curtis that things could break in a way that makes this team very competitive, have the potential to win this league. I still think, though, that that's a pretty outsized chance, especially because you are looking at an Aaron Jones dealing with some issues right now. You probably need, as Curtis said, Ridley to come back, which who knows what is going to happen there. You just got McCaffrey back. Yes, you have Javonte Williams. Davante Adams questionable this week. I think we'll be fine the rest of the season, but I'm still looking at this team trying to figure out where it really makes that push. Who are the players that are doing this? You have Darren Waller, which is great, but at the end of the day, this just does not look to me like a team that has more than maybe a 7% chance of winning that league. I will say, though, if you, Android, feel that this team's closer to 20%, then I definitely can see going with it, maybe even at 15%. And for people out there in a similar situation, I think that's the type of question you have to ask yourself. If the rest of the season plays out 100 times, how many times is your team really coming away as the one that wins it all? Still needs to make the playoffs. Then in the playoffs, you're going to need some luck to get down that stretch. Who are the players that are doing it for your team? How does it manifest? So me, I still would be throwing in the towel on this team this year, trying to redefine its nucleus as we move into next year and see what we can get. So I actually would be looking to see what I could get for Aaron Jones right now. See if there's a team that just wants him to have that push maybe in the last two games of the season to really push them over and is expecting him to have some value next year. I think that there's some pieces on this team you can move. Curtis talked a little bit about that. Maybe you see what you could get for Calvin Ridley at this point. It's probably pretty low, but I would at least be exploring the possibilities of different things that you could do here to set this team up for the future, which might be something that we could dig into a little bit later in the year. I think Curtis and I will talk about the players that feel like ones that make sense to move off of, given where they are in their career, where they still have enough value to give you a nice return that's going to propel you towards the future. I think that Chase Claypool also could be an interesting player right now to try and move. Hasn't quite lived up to what some people would have liked, but I think that with Juju out for the rest of the season and that offense really being revolved around Claypool and Johnson, as far as wide receivers go, might be able to find the right price to make the move and help position yourself going forward. So that takes us through the listener questions. We are now going to get into some stats from the Stealing Signals tool.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, so as a reminder, the Stealing Signals tool is really our way of providing the stats that Ben Gretsch, who originally started writing this fantastic article, he has a Substack for it. People absolutely love this thing. One of the single most in-depth pieces you'll see in the whole fantasy industry that comes out every week. But Ben has a number of key stats that he looks at when putting together this article, and they're ones that we really like to use at the site too. So it's definitely worth checking out both the article and the numbers that we have on the site. We've talked a lot about high value touches, in specific team percentage of high value touches. And I am pleased to report that Najee Harris is still north of 95% at 97%. Really, just because it's amazing to see a player that high. For some perspective, the next closest player is Austin Ekeler at 82%, Dalvin Cook 81%, Alvin Kamara 78%, Daryl Henderson 78%, Miles Gaskin, who I don't know if we've talked about it recently, but we certainly talked about him on this show this year. He's at 70% of team high value touches. Now, on the year, he's had 55 high-value touches, which actually positions him only behind DeAndre Swift, Austin Ekeler, Jonathan Taylor, and Najee Harris. His issue has been being efficient. The workload has completely been there. It just has been a matter of how efficient he can be. Perhaps on some level, how efficient that offense can be. And you're kind of in an odd spot with a player like him right now on a week to week basis in your comfort level and putting him into your lineups. I think that you still need to, given the quality of touches that he's getting here and the overall volume. So if we just zone in on him here for a second, there is kind of an interesting trend with him. So starting in week 5, had an RB1 performance, followed that up with just 3.4 points against Jacksonville. Next week, RB1 performance, 17.7 points. Week after that, just 8.5 against Buffalo, RB3 performance. Then 17.7 the next week against Houston, drops back down to 5.5. Then in week 11 was 18.6 against the Jets. So he's still been an RB1 in 36% of weeks, ranks 15th in expected points per game, 28 in PPR per game, 132 among running backs, and fantasy points over expectation per game, ranks 5th among running backs in targets. So it's been an odd season for Gaskin. I think, though, that he's kind of turned the corner here, and you can feel decent about him in your lineups moving forward. And I think what we see when we think about a player like him here is that, in general, when you have players that are getting quality opportunities, it's just a matter of time before those convert. It's very rare that you see players up in the leaderboards of a lot of these meaningful volume metrics. It's rare that you see them up there, and by the end of the season, the course hasn't corrected. DeAndre Swift, man, high value touches, 53 receptions for him. Behind him, you have Najee Harris at 49, which is crazy, than Austin Eckler. Just very impressive stuff from Swift. In terms of snap percentage, too, Najee Harris, I have to highlight him again. He's at 84% of team running back snaps. Next closest is Kamara at 78. Then you actually have David Montgomery at 77, Darrell Henderson Jr. at 75, then Swift at 72. One thing that's always interesting to look at is a metric that Ben calls trap percentage, which are essentially the percentage of players' carries that aren't high-value touches. So you can just conceptualize it as what percentage of a player's touches are not useful for fantasy purposes, or aren't, I guess we could say, high leverage opportunities. So of players, if I sort based on PPR through the season and then find the highest trap percentage, it's actually interesting that you have Derrick Henry coming in at third, of course, for a player like him, where he doesn't need the reception totals that other players have. That probably isn't a big issue. Joe Mixon, though, 84% of his touches have been, or yeah, 84% of his opportunities fall under that trap category. Other players with pretty high totals, James Conner, but man, those touchdowns, it has not mattered. You also have Nick Chubb at 85. So you're going to see players like that, that operate or do less work in the receiving game. Now, Antonio Gibson, Antonio Gibson is at 80. Now, Curtis talked a little bit about him when we were looking at one of those listener questions before. Let's focus here on Antonio Gibson for a second. I remember early on in the year, we were talking about the dynasty value of Antonio Gibson versus Najee Harrison. Boy, I mean, there's no comparison at this point. So Gibson has been an RB1 just one time this year. 50% of his games, he has been an RB2. So between weeks 1 and 5, he was averaging 15.5 points since then. So week 6 through week 11, you've seen a major discrepancy there, averaging just 10.7 PPR points per game. Definitely a player that we're going to have to come back to and assess his value. In terms of opportunities, he ranks 10th among running backs. Expected points per game, he's at 18. Just has been inefficient, coming in at 90 in fantasy points over expectation per game. So if we look at the actual workload that he's getting each week, there's been many weeks where he's been north of 15 rushing attempts. Targets, though, this year have really been around two or three per game. I think moving into next year, Gibson's going to be viewed as a player that perhaps could be on the fringe of that RB1 range or a better RB2. We will talk about this more with Curtis, as I think that he's one of the interesting players to break down going into next season. Now, Gibson has just 44% of his team's high-value touches, and a large piece of that is going to come as a result of him having one of the lowest reception totals among these backs that have put up the most points this year. Naturally, you have McKissick taking away a lot of that opportunity because by default, he's the player that really gets the majority of that team's targets. He's actually at 38. You have Gibson at 19. So McKissick is at 53% of the team's high value touches, and you have Gibson at 44. Other 4% goes to Jarrett Patterson. Now, McKissick is an unrestricted free agent at the end of 2022. So I think that that is going to be the piece of information that will really drive the value that Gibson should have. If he returns to the team, I think it's going to be hard to view Gibson the way that many people did heading into the year. If he's not, we'll see what the team does addressing its running back core, see if it adds another piece. If they don't, then naturally, I think that that should give Gibson a pretty substantial boost in value. Another fun thing to point out here is that in terms of overall, so not percentage-based, just total low-value touches, you see Najee Harris coming in at number two. What does this tell us? Najee Harris is just getting so much work. It's insane. I apologize that I can't stop talking about this, but it's just really incredible the amount of work that he has had this year. And it shouldn't be surprising, though, that you do see the players with the most low value touches being the players that see the most work, which is why that trap percentage that we talked about earlier can be pretty interesting to look at. Then just one thing I wanted to highlight, because I know that this could be confusing for some people if you haven't spent much time playing around with the stealing signals tool. But you might notice that if you're looking at a specific team's running backs, the column that says team running back high value touch might be different. That's because the way that I'm calculating things in the tool are it's only pulling in high value touches in games that that specific player played. So if you're looking at Green Bay, for example, you're going to see that in games Aaron Jones played, there's been 78 running back high value touches. AJ Dillon, there's 84. And that's because Dillon has played in more games than Jones. So that's one thing to keep in mind, because I haven't asked that, and it's a good question. But that's all we have for you today. Just wanted to get a quick episode in here. We are thankful for everybody checking in with us each week, for sending in questions, for having really fun group of listeners that we get to interact with via email sometimes on Twitter. Still feel free to call us in, give us those questions. This will be it for this week. We will be back next week, as always, reacting to the action on a Tuesday morning episode. We hope that everybody out there has, or depending when you are listening to this, had a fantastic Thanksgiving, got to spend some time with your family, and hopefully we have some good football to watch on Thanksgiving Day, though it might not be the most interesting slate we've ever seen. Maybe we get a nice game or two. Anyways, thanks as always, and enjoy your holiday.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.